Et que se cultive la part de Josh Scripture, toi, from Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to also read another passage of Scripture which will act as a backdrop to that passage that she has read. And the passage that I'm going to read is from Luke. We are staying with Luke for this presentation. And so I'm going to read from Luke chapter 17, verse 15 and 16 as a backdrop to the passage Sister Christine read. And Luke 17, 15 and 16 read like this. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. I wanted to make a note of that passage there. But not only those two verses, you can also read from verse 11 to get the entire picture of it. And it will serve as a backdrop to Luke chapter 8 from 1 to 4. May I use this opportunity as well to support what Sister Bennett said in her welcome. That if you're here for the first time, we are so glad to have you in this service. And we are going to ask you if you could just share your phones with others in your household and let others know and hear about it as we minister the word of the Lord. We are glad to have you if you're here for the first time, and we trust that this will not be your last time. Amen. I would like to speak to us today about the power of gratitude. The power of gratitude. Gratitude is expressed in giving thanks for something that was done, and how much one expressed their appreciation for that which was done, and therefore that person returned gratitude. And so I'd like to concentrate on the power of gratitude as we go through this presentation today. I'm going to ask you to stay with me, please. In Luke chapter 17, we are told here by the scriptures of something that happened while Jesus was ministering in a village. He came across a group of men, 10 of them. All 10 were lepers. And because they have to maintain their distance from society, they shout, they cry with a loud voice from a distance, asking Jesus to have mercy upon them and heal their leper. Jesus, shouting from the same distance, sent them to go and show themselves to the priest. And as they in obedience went, one of them who discovered that he was ill, he decided on his own, as we have read, that he is going to return to Jesus. Instead of going to the priest, he is going to return to the person who caused him to be healed. And this is where we start to focus on the power of gratitude. The word tells us here in verse 15 of Luke 17. Now this man, he returned and when he returned, he made an alarm. He returned with a loud voice. In other words, the group, the people that normally goes along with Jesus wherever Jesus goes, he demand attention. He demand attention with a loud voice. And what was involved in that loud voice? The word tells us here, he was glorifying God. With a loud voice, you could not miss it. You could not miss that voice. The power of gratitude drives him with a conviction that he has to come with a loud voice demanding attention for what had happened to him. And who was his target? Who was his target in all of this? Can you imagine Jesus being a Jew? Most of those who were around Jesus were Jewish. And this is Samaritan. This Samaritan who, as far as we understand from the scripture, they were hated by the Jew and the Jew were hated by them. And he, with a loud voice, came before Jesus, before all those who would oppose him. And not only that he came, after demanding the attention of everybody, the power of gratitude was propelling him. He sat down at Jesus' feet, which the Bible declared to us is faith to the ground. The power of gratitude. As he fell down before Jesus with his face to the ground, in an attitude of saying thanks. Saying thanks. When he realized that he was old, when he realized he had no more leprosy, when he realized that his health came back, his face was now to the ground before the man who healed him. Despite what the crowd might be saying, despite what the murmuring, taking place inside of the crowd. Here is this man being healed by the Lord Jesus, propelled by the power of gratitude before Jesus and stop the procession completely. by saying in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said, were they not 10 lepers cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? Jesus said. Where are the 9? Has Jesus looked around? Has Jesus looked around on the crowd that was stunned? On the crowd that was amazed? On the crowd who had never seen anything like this before? A Samaritan spread out before Jesus. In saying thanks, driven by the power of gratitude, Jesus look on them and said, he's not the only one, there are 9 more. Where are they? Today, I would ask the question to us, has God done anything for you? Has God done anything for you? It might not be as dramatic as this, but can you think of anything, even since yesterday, that you can identify that he has done for you? And I want to tell you, if we start to think we are going to identify it, that we have so much. And if there are so much, if there are anything that he did for you and for me, the question is, where is the power of gratitude? How does it express itself? I went to Luke 17 to use this as a backdrop for St. Luke chapter 8. Because in St. Luke chapter 8 is only one of the Gospels. St. Luke alone made mention of this. Matthew is silent on it. Mark is silent on it. John is silent on it. Only Luke give us a glimpse into the early stage of the interaction with Jesus and these sisters. And so we enter in chapter 8, as was read by our sister. And I read like this, and it came to pass afterwards, that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, which he had healed of their evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many other women, which ministered unto him of their souls. substance. What is it that these three sisters and the leper in Luke 17 had in common? What is it that they have in common? They were all healed by Jesus. They were all healed by Jesus. But the leper expressed the same sentiment that these sisters have, only that it is not recorded by Matthew, by Mark, by John, only here by Luke. And so the same thought, the power of gratitude that we see here in this leper over there in 17 applies right here to these three sisters. Oftentimes we only hear about Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus has cast out 7 devils from. Oftentimes, all we hear. But now Luke is pointing to us that these three sisters had a similar problem. They might not have as much demon as Mary Magdalene, but their diagnosis was the same. Mary, Joanna, and Susanna. Their diagnosis was the same. And they all have been healed by Jesus. I would like to say to us that let us try to pay a closer attention to the scriptures to see the greatness, to see the love, to see the caring, to see the interest that Jesus has in humanity. All three women have been healed by Jesus. And the Holy Spirit made sure that the names were called. There were other women involved, and their names were not recorded here, as the scripture clearly indicates to us. But these three names were called here by the Holy Ghost using Luke as a vessel, indicating the tremendous work that was done by Jesus in their life. And what we see here, how does this manifest itself in the lives of these sisters? Well, if we go back to take Luke chapter 17, what we discover, the man that was healed, the leper that was healed, he came with a loud voice, he sounded an alarm. These sisters, they explained to their families about their healing. That means they are sounding an alarm to their family. They are making it known that they were healed. They have declared that they have received total healing to their family. And what was they are afraid that they do. The man in Luke chapter 17 came and bowed down before Jesus. He found Jesus. He wants to be where Jesus is. Instead of going to the priest. And the early sisters, as a result of the gratitude driven by a heart of gratitude, not only that they informed their family of a healing, but they want to be with Jesus. They want to be with Jesus. That's why it is important here that we find out what it is that God, what it is that you can identify that God has done for you. Regardless of how simple it is, can you identify anything that God has done for you? Let the power of gratitude, let the power of saying thanks, let the power of expressing thanks motivate you in an act of service. So there are two things that we see here from the scripture, from this passage, that we'd like to highlight to us. And the first one is, Jesus made a statement in St. Luke chapter 9. Jesus made a statement that if any man will deny himself, let him take up his cross daily. Daily. Not today and drop it tomorrow. Not today and drop it for another week. Not today and drop it for another month. But take up his cross daily and follow me. Say Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. This is what happened to these sisters and more. So there are two things I would like to point out here. One, Jesus loosed the stronghold of men and society upon women. Jesus loosed the stronghold of men and society upon women. Let's look again on the passage of Scripture. The passage of Scripture says, it came to us afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, meaning disciples. But listen carefully, church. It did not stop there. It did not stop there. Verse 2 said, and, look on the word and. It's a connection word. And certain women, women, not woman, not mere imaginary, women, certain women which have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, of her own and several devils, and your own, the wife of Chusa, Herod, Stuart, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Not only the disciples, but all of these people were with Jesus in the cities and in the villages. You find this only in St. Luke. And I'm stressing that point here. Because here is search the scripture, if you search the New Testament, you are going to find that Jesus had no problem with women. No woman, the Bible not mentioned that set out to harm Jesus in any shape or form. Jesus was harmed and Jesus was healed by men.
But no women. Glory. Bless the Lord.
Your woman is a man that plucked Jesus' beard. He's a man that spit in Jesus' face. He's a man that sent Jesus to me. He's a man that made him to the cross. It is a man that ate Jesus.
Now, we love Jesus. We minister to Jesus. We pour our master box of ointment on his feet. Hallelujah.
And Jesus, in all of these meetings, one of the 12 disciples was there. The woman, the sister, was there to get first-hand witness of what Jesus was doing as well.
Hallelujah.
The watching, the hardened minister, the one Jesus, the for his congregation. To the different people in the different villages, they heard for themselves, right up there, along with the disciples, what Jesus was saying. They saw Jesus' miracles firsthand. They heard Jesus' parables firsthand. They saw Jesus' compassion firsthand.
The tender side of God.
When we talk about women of our company,
hallelujah,
it is built in the reality that Jesus purposed that women would be in the company of his disciples.
Yeah.
Verse 12. Then Luke 13. Imagine with me for a minute. is free. Imagine Jesus walked into the synagogue with his disciples, these three women and other women. Somebody would say, church full. When Jesus walked into that synagogue. And when Jesus was still here, Jesus looked across, as the word said here. From verse 10 of Samuel chapter 13. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Here we go again. Here is this word.
Hallelujah.
And the word
is blessed and
Thank you, Lord, for giving us this great salvation for free. Hallelujah.
And we open our mouth and praise Him.
Hallelujah. 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 We do that in all of your ability. And seek it. And they heard such a message from Jesus. We must be the body language. We see what happened to Jesus. We know when Jesus was hungry. We know when Jesus was thirsty. We know when Jesus wanted to sleep. We are such a knowledge of the Savior. The woman of our company.
Yes.
Of the company of the disciples. As recorded there in St. Luke chapter 24.
Yes.
Hallelujah. They were in the company with the disciples. They were in the company with Jesus. And they were powered by the act of gratitude.
Hallelujah.
That is not the only thing that Jesus did. That's not the only barrier that Jesus put down in giving the woman a place where they can be comfy. Is that the only thing? Jesus also break the barrier between the have and the have not. Go back to St. Luke chapter 8 for a minute. Look on verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. I stop there. Joanna. Joanna's husband worked in King's house. He is responsible for managing the affairs within the house, Joanna's husband. Well-placed position in the King's house. As a result of him being here in King's house, Joanna was privileged to kings of fear. To understand royalty. She was wealthy. She had a fame. Hallelujah. When she was healed of her infirmity by Jesus, she discovered that there's a greater king than King Herod. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There is something that is greater than the man her husband was working for. She chose, despite her background of wealth, she chose to come and be a part of Jesus' witness. Despite your wealth. I'm saying to the church this morning, it's nice and it is good if you are somebody of financial means. We bless God for you. But I would like to also inform us that when it comes to the kingdom of God, God sees all of us at the same level. God sees all of us on the same level. And Joanna discovered that as much as she's a woman of tremendous wealth by way of her husband and the King Herod, she is going to give her service, her life to Jesus, a man who had seemingly nothing, a man who did not have nowhere to lay his head, according to Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
woman. I lift my hat to a man who from time to time would like a beater. But I lift my hat to the sisters who will organize and make plans and introduce this thought and introduce that thought in an effort to gain things that will advance the work of God. I lift my hat to my sisters.
Thank you, Jesus.
We will write a check and it's done. But women will come together and organize themselves in order to get the job done. Hallelujah. And that is what happened here with these sisters. Not only these three, but the other sisters that I not mentioned. That is what they did. So as to support the day-to-day activity of the work of Jesus as they go from village to village and community to community and town to town. Ministering the gospel. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
But we find at the same time, that not only that Jesus made the body up where women get a voice, not only that Jesus break the barrier where in the church there is help from the infection of the church, from those who have helping those who have not. But what we find is that these sisters, powered by the attitude, the gratitude of what had happened to them, they decide that they are going to stay with Jesus to the very end.
Yes, amen.
And so when we follow Luke, as he continued to watch these sisters, we find that these sisters were there when they crucified Jesus.
Yes.
Luke 23 tells us, remember we're trying to see with Luke. Luke 23:28 says, but Jesus turning unto them said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Now when all the disciples ran away from Jesus because of fear for their own life, these sisters were close enough to Jesus, that Jesus, under the pressure as he was being led to the cross, turned to them, having seen them weeping, and said to them, look, weep not for me, but weep for your children. They were that close to Jesus in the procession going to the cross, that Jesus could see them. Jesus could look on them, and Jesus could squeeze a word to them. When the disciples were nowhere in sight, and tells you, verse 31 of St. Luke chapter 23 tells us that Jesus said to them, if they do these things in a green tree, what shall they do to the dry? In other words, if they do these things to me, an innocent man, can you imagine what they will want to do to you? But it is not just stop there. You would want to think that they would back away. But no, the word tells us that they were here when they laid him in the tomb. Let's go to St. Luke chapter 23, verse 55. Luke continues to speak. When they laid him family followed after. And behold the sepulchre, and all his body was laid. And they returned the pierced spices and ornaments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. Have you heard of not only that they were there during the crucifixion, but they stayed with Jesus until they laid his body in the tomb? They killed him and laid his body in the tomb. And then that was the end of that day. My gratitude. Forward my gratitude for the man called Jesus. They stayed with him up until he was laid in the tomb. There were there to be the first to discover that Jesus was raised from the dead. They not only were there late Friday night, but early Sunday morning, before anybody else, they were there. Let's read Luke 24, 1 to 10 to get this picture. Luke 24, 1 to 10. And on the fourth day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Not only these three, but others too. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, throughout the old two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their face to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but listen to these words. He is risen.
Hallelujah.
Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hand of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day raised again. And they remember his words. And returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the eleven, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene. Anybody remember her? In Luke 8?
Amen.
It was Joanna. Anybody remember Joanna in verse 8?
Amen.
And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women. Anybody remember the thought also in verse 8?
Yes, sir.
That were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now, the one name that is missing from this, from verse 8, is Susanna.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say to the church here, before I continue on this, I want to say to the church here, sometimes, sisters, and not only in the Apostolic Church in America, but in churches in general, sometimes you are working behind the scene. You are making tremendous contribution to the work, mm-hmm. and your name is not being called. I don't want you to feel any way here, because some Susanna name was mentioned here in Luke 8. Her name has not been mentioned again in all the scriptures. You will not find Susanna name again in the scriptures. Her name was mentioned only
that were gathered, men and women.
Every single one of them, men and women, came under the anointing of the blessed Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus came and he broke down the barrier and loosed our system. Hallelujah. Out of a heart of
gratitude.
Out of a heart of gratitude. Proclaim our gratitude. And their gratitude becomes now their attitude.
Hallelujah.
They go, they minister and talk about Jesus.
Hallelujah.
They were here when the church was formed. Because Jesus included them in his ministry.
Hallelujah.
I want to say to the sisters today, I encourage you to continue to serve God. I encourage you to continue to be humble before God. I encourage you to remember the power of gratitude. When you are cast down, remember what he did for you, and that will prepare you. Let your gratitude become your attitude. Let your gratitude become your attitude so that you'll be motivated to do more. Thank you for what you have given us. Thank you for your word to our hearts. Thank you that you included humanity in your program.
Hallelujah.
For God so loved the world, men and women, boys and girls, you died for all. And we thank you this morning, oh God, this first women's meeting on a Sunday morning for the year, that you have reminded us of how much you have included our sisters in your program. And we trust that the work will continue, and we trust that your name will be continued to be lifted up among our sisters. And amen. For we ask this now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen.